Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today. Stay in the know with Mary and Esther. Art on the air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.
And welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air on WVLP 103.1 FM and Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. Normally, this is our weekly program covering arts and arts events in Valparaiso throughout Northwest Indiana, but this is a special edition checking in with artists of what they're doing during the COVID-19 issue that's going on. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
We're your hosts for Art on the Air. That theme music you heard at the opening is by Billy and Renee Foster, and we'd like to thank them. Our underwriters are Brower Museum at Valparaiso University, Mary Levan, an art patron, and Walt Breininger of Paragon Investments. Always thanks to Greg Kovach, the station manager, but we are actually doing this in my remote studio in Chesterton, Indiana. Art on the Air is supported by the Indiana Arts Commission and the National Endowments for the Arts. Currently, we're not taking information about your arts or arts-related events, but you can contact us at artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. And send us information. We know that the arts events calendar will be up and running when we get back. Our program, along with all the programs, stream live at WVLP.org. On the air, we broadcast on Mondays at 5 p.m. You can hear an entire show archive at breck.com/AOTA. That's breck.com/AOTA. And we are carried on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM every Sunday at 7 p.m. We always are looking for underwriter support. We'll just briefly mention that you can do that at wvlp.org/support. But the purpose of this show is to interview our artists and what they're doing in their downtime as we're all sheltering in place and how they're being creative and everything. So we're going to move on to that segment right now with various artists that we brought on. And now to our special edition of Art on the Air, we'd like to welcome Wendy Costa from New York, and welcome to our show.
Aloha, girlfriend. Hey, how are you?
Well, we're going to start off with just describe a little bit about your art and what kind of art you do, and you know, also where you're located and things like that. I know you've had exhibitions in Chicago, but just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, I am living in upstate New York. Bought an old church in 2009. That was the beginning of the recession. Old Gothic church built in 1829, and it was abandoned, and my boyfriend and I bought it on a cash deal, and we decided we wanted to be way off the grid and not relying on the banking system after a bad experience with a mortgage at that time, and to live in the country. We live in the Amish countryside, and it's super interesting. I'm a painter, illustrator, thing maker. I think Wham knows that. What don't I make, really?
I know.
Really?
And everything you do is so beautiful and creative and luscious, and I just adore. I adore you.
We're really similar in our aesthetic. I think I really don't have... I've never been interested in one kind of category of art making. As a kid, I wanted to get my hands on everything from...
Absolutely everything.
Right, baking to leather making. We make jewelry. We print on metal. We print my art on ceramic tile, fabrics. Wow, I'm trying to think of what I've done lately. Rod does vacuum forming, those typewriter bags that are kind of a steampunk line that are cast over old objects, old radios and old telephones, old typewriters. So there's a whole line of stuff, and we make it all ourselves. We never contracted out much. We had a few employees, but the recession changed that. So really, this whole pandemic thing hasn't changed our lives so much. We're used to being in, making things, and listening to music. I did ramp up my meditation more, and that's helped me a lot, and listen to music. We really don't have TV on. We're usually making things. So for us, it's kind of life as it always has been.
It seems though you've been really getting extra creative with food preparation as well.
Yeah, we went vegan a few years ago, and you know, weird. I think you might say that you've experienced this too, but it kind of like cleared the channel for my art. I know it sounds kind of new agey, but to raise the vibration and change the diet a couple of years ago, that changed my energy. And
it's so much simpler.
Everything's simpler. I feel cleaner, and that changed the art. And so, yeah, I make a lot of food art. I've dreamed about having open studio. We were talking about that earlier, where people could come in and have some beautiful food, hear live music, and see the studio. Because like you, I like seeing how things are made, how people work, you know, what other tools look like, and just what is an average day in the life of an artist. So I'm dying to do that when this lifts and we can have people over.
Yeah, it's a wonderful way to inspire people because they might not have even thought of doing that, and then they see it and it sparks something in them. It's a nice gift.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I still get letters from people who tell me that I was the inspiration for them to paint or to be self-employed or to take a chance on small business. Rod's daughter just opened her own one-chair salon for hair, and she cited me as an inspiration to be self-employed as a woman, so
yes.
I didn't even know that I was having an effect.
Well, you know,
every time I
wear something of yours, it sparks a conversation with somebody I didn't know. You know, whether it's like Wendy Costa socks or
that line.
You know, yeah.
That's when we met in Chicago, because I had always loved art to wear, and as a kid, I was painting with latex house paint on my stockings and wearing them to school. I was sticking them in the typewriter and typing on them. I was a nightmare. But I just love art to wear, and when we met in Chicago, I was doing a line of wearables with beautiful designs. I was hand-painting, and we were printing each piece with something like, how many did we bring? Like 10,000 pairs. We did all by hand.
Yeah. So phenomenal. That was the first time I saw the typewriters, and there's quite a few women in our region now that have the typewriters.
Gosh. Those bags they're like Klaus Oldenburg. They're really extraordinary, and that's something that I want to go forward more with. But we don't like to stick around on one thing for too long, and I think that's you know, what's going on here now, as you can see it on Facebook, that during this time, I just thought, well, I'm just going to ramp up all the stuff I wanted to do, like sticker sets, and we're doing more soldering with jewelry and metal, and cutting vinyl and printing on vinyl for things so that you can put on the wall. We both love lighting, so we're talking about doing a lighting line that's kind of steampunk sound objects. But yeah, it's really hard for me to do shows because those guys like me to be in a category, and I just don't fit in a category in life or anywhere, you know? So
I know, I always wondered about that because, you know, a lot of those shows you just have to enter in one category. How could I choose?
Well, and you're like me, you're multimedia, and I think we were talking about that earlier, that what I really, really like is installation stuff where you walk in and it's like you're inside of my sketchbook, you know, or inside my process, and that's what I really want to do, and I got to do a little bit of that with store window design for a while for Stuart Weitzman, which was a great gig, and we would fly around the country, and we would do these environments, and that's when I was really putting it all together, because we would do sound and video installation and lights and sculpture, and of course, with one of my favorite subjects, shoes, high-heel shoes, so that's really my thing. And I want to do that, and we talked about it earlier, my dream for a long time is to have a commune and to share space, share food, share expenses, especially coming up on retirement age for me. And so that's something I think that this situation has brought even clearer into focus that I want to do for the future. And maybe other people are seeing that through this, you know?
Wendy, I was going to ask you about the store windows. Were you part of United Scenic Artists when you did that, or...?
No, just an independent artist. I met Jane Weitzman at a trade show, probably in New York, and she was at that time in control of all the Weitzman, you know, windows. And I think every month they changed it in every store, and that was her thing. She would go and find artists, and so I got to do more than a few windows, you know, different locations, Boston, New York, and Houston. And then she recently did a book of all the collections, and we were in that book, so it was really great.
Oh, wow.
Did you not see that book?
Oh, no, I did not.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's called Art and Soul.
Yes, I did see it. I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a beautiful, yeah, deep red book with the little gold edges. And some of the pieces we did were sold off before they could get photographed, and we were sad about that, but from Dallas. But, yeah, that was so all this multimedia stuff has led us into store design, which is another big thing for me. And I like menu design. I like food design. So, and I've done, you know, some restaurant design and shoe store design. So, I let my art teach me where it wants to go. I think that's maybe part of my way of working. And then the church, it lets, I think it's better because I always, as a kid, wanted to live in an industrial space, like an old factory, or a place where there were no walls because I didn't want things to get in the way if I wanted to change the configuration or if my studio needed to be bigger at times or smaller. And so that's the appeal of the church for me.
Wendy, what are you looking forward to after the COVID-19 thing is over with? Is there something you really want to do but you can't do because you're, you know, sheltering in place?
Yeah, I love being out and gathering beautiful pieces for sculpture. So I'm loving the idea of getting out to do that and supporting my friends in small business who are suffering. That's really killing me to see them in trouble. And to open my space in the spring for people to come in and see everything I'm talking about.
Excellent. Are you going a little bit stir crazy? It sounds like you have so much creative energy right there in your church that the world could be gone and you're still going on.
Yeah, I thought I was handling myself pretty well because I'm an extreme introvert. My sister calls me Howard for Howard Hughes, so I don't go out a lot. But it really got to me yesterday, and I think it's because a friend sent an article that was kind of a really doomsday thing, which I normally stay away from. And it got me really shaken, and I thought, oh, okay, you know, regroup, reset. I was doing great making art, but that's what artists do well. They stay in that beautiful bubble, and I have to remember to stay in that space, and I'll be okay.
Any final thoughts that you want to share with our audience about what's coming out or for you?
Yeah, I'm just an extreme art lover, animal lover, and maker, and I want to encourage people to make things and get in touch with that creativity through this. Lots of people I'm seeing on Facebook are doing those things, and it's life-changing. I think Wham and I could tell you that it's therapy, it's beauty, it's fulfilling, it's transforming. So I would say do those things, those artistic things.
Well, we'd like to thank you for coming on Art in the Air. That was Wendy Costa and how she's handling the COVID-19 crisis that we're going through and being very artistic about it. Thank you so much for being on the show,
always.
Wendy.
Thank you, guys.
You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM.
And welcome back to Art on Air Special Edition. We are with Donna Catalano, Special Projects Coordinator for South Shore Arts, part of Region 1, and also grants. Welcome to the show, Donna.
Aloha, Donna.
Oh, thank you for having me, guys.
Well, we want to see what the impact is on when we're going through this pandemic thing, on first of all, on South Shore Arts in general. What's going on? How it's impacted exhibits and things, and just the general operation?
Well, I think South Shore Arts is probably in the same boat as most other art galleries. And we have canceled and do not have any exhibits open to the public. We do have, I know we're keeping our Maurice Sendak exhibit just because we really, during all this, can't ship it back because it is a leased exhibit. So that was our blockbuster for this year. So who knows, maybe we'll get a few weeks at the end of all this. You never know. Our next exhibit scheduled, though, is our junior-senior high school show, and that show is, you know, all the junior highs and the senior high schools in the area, in the three counties and the southwest suburbs or southeast suburbs of Chicago participate. So we are contacting exhibitors, and that would be Bridget Coert, who is our gallery director. And she is contacting them, and since the kids aren't in school, she's asking them to send virtual images, and then we will probably do an online exhibit, because that exhibit does involve a lot of prize money for those kids, and one of the big ones is the Berwanger, which is a scholarship for a senior student going to an arts college.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a great impact.
So, so we hope to carry that on. We don't want to, do away with it, because it means a lot to kids. And hopefully the prize money will still be there, but it might be a little less, might be a little more. But we'll play it by ear and see what we can do for the kids.
Yeah, well, it would be, since so many shows are juried online anyway, that process is pretty easy to plug into. I hope it all works out.
Well, this show is not juried online.
I don't mean jury, but since that protocol is already in place.
One of my partners that's already doing it, their junior senior high school show is up, is Tippecanoe Arts Federation, which is the South Shore Arts in the Lafayette area. And so they were going to start doing virtual showings of the exhibit, because they actually hung their exhibit, but now they can't let anybody in to see it. So do some features on different schools. And there's a lot you can do with it, actually.
Yeah, Donna, how does this going to also impact the other thing, the other hat you wear, is the grant process?
The grant process, as most people know, we are the representative for the Indiana Arts Commission up here in Region 1. And I have had a lot of insight, because I am the chair of all the art partners in the state right now. So I've done a lot of Zoom meetings in the last week. And with the panels coming up April, for our section, they're April 27th and 28th. And Larry, you're a mentor. Esther, you're a panelist. We're going to do our panels virtually through Zoom, and do our review of all the grants. And so that Zoom is nice, because the people who are being reviewed can also log into the meeting and listen to the panel. So I think it'll be not such a bad thing. We're going to handle it. But the other thing that they did was really nice, is any arts organization support applicant, which is being reviewed this year and is a returning grantee, we are not going to panel them. We are going to automatically renew their grant contract for the next year, because they do have a history with us. If anybody is a new AOS applicant, they will be paneled. But in Region 1, I did not have any new AOS applicants, so I will be paneling only art project support. And that turned out, actually, because I had 41 APS applicants. And I lost my AOS, or didn't have to have my AOS panel, I decided to divide my 41 among three panels instead of two, so it makes it a little easier on the panelists.
Yeah, we appreciate that on the other side of the panelists when you're being one, and happy to be a moderator this year. And just personally, how are you handling being sheltered in place?
Oh, well, I have a European boxer who loves to walk, and so we have, I think, multiple days we're hitting over 20,000 steps with our Fitbit.
Any final thoughts for our audience? Our audience, for Art on the Air.
Oh, I think it's just, be patient, follow guidelines, listen to the governor. One of the things I would like art organizations to do, or arts, anybody that's in the arts, is you can go to Americans for the Arts website, and that's americansforthearts.org, and there is a survey online that you can take on how this is impacting your arts organization. And also, for any arts organization, if you're looking for relief or you're looking for answers, you can go on the Indiana Arts Commission website, www.in.gov/art, and there is a page there about the virus and how you can get relief and where you can get help.
That sounds great. Well, we appreciate you coming on the show, and that's exactly what these it looks like. We're going to be doing three episodes of this special edition, but we appreciate
sure.
it. That's Donna Catalano, the Special Projects Coordinator for South Shore Arts. Thanks for coming on, Donna.
Oh, thanks for having me, Larry. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna.
And our next guest on the special edition of Art on the Air is Jill Chambers in Saugatuck, Michigan. She's an illustrator, graphics, and also designs beautiful ornaments. Jill, welcome to the show.
Aloha, Jill.
Oh, thank you, Larry. Thank you, Esther. I appreciate you having me on.
Oh, we're so happy to have you on. Well, we want to see how this is impacting you. First of all, tell us a little bit about your art, what you actually do, and everything like that in general.
Sure. Well, I am an illustrator. I specialize in hand-painted, signed, and numbered wood ornaments for every occasion and every holiday, like, you know, Easter, Christmas. My biggest holiday, however, is Halloween, and that sometimes surprises people. They think then I'm only busy in the month of October, but the truth is I usually start shipping out Halloween ornaments, especially to, like, the larger retail shops in California and the West Coast of the United States in January. So it's a year-round business.
So it's actually not only just fun art, but it's business art.
Oh yes, it's definitely it is what pays the bills at our house. it's a good thing. And I should also, I'd love to put in a plug.
Please do.
I love it when customers contact me directly through my website, and due to coronavirus, I now have a retail e-catalog. May I give you that website address?
Please do. We'd like to share it with our audience.
At the ornaments. It's www.chambers-art.com. So www.chambers-art.com.
Okay.
And I can say personally that they are so exquisite, heirloom quality ornaments. You're going to be passing these down for generations. They are so gorgeous.
Do you have any of those in the nest there, Esther?
Yes, I believe I do.
Very good.
Maybe not at the moment, though, right? I sent them all.
I was just thinking, Esther, I think not quite at the moment right now. I just came out with my 2020 catalog in January, and I really haven't.
I think we have an order that we have. Yeah. Talked about an order, yeah.
Okay, well, back to what we're talking about is the COVID-19 crisis, and how's that impacting you, Jill, in terms of your lifestyle, how your business? Now, you've mentioned you've gone online and have an e-catalog, but, you know, how are you working through this?
Well, for me, and Esther and I were talking about that, you know, my day-to-day, my the way I live, the way I work, it's a very insular business. I mean, throughout the year, I come up with designs, but I do all my designing. Basically, I have the designs ready by the end of December, and then it's just cutting the ornaments, producing the catalog, and then I hand paint all the ornaments. But the limited editions, I only do maybe 60 of each design for limited editions, and the open line ornaments, just whatever I can sell, I just keep cutting and painting those. So basically, the bulk of my business comes from two sources, either gift shops, especially ones that specialize in ornaments, and also the tourism industry, tourist shops. And the shops on the West Coast, of course, were hit earlier with COVID-19, so the sales were impacted early on by their anticipation and then subsequent store closures. I'm not sure how the coronavirus will impact the Great Lakes tourism industry, but I'm anticipating it will probably not have a great, it will not do us any favors, you know. Living near Saugatuck, Michigan, our local economy is reliant on tourism. Tuck's of Saugatuck, the Christmas shop, carries my ornaments, and they are currently developing a website for online sales, and I suspect that many other shops will be doing the same. Personally, because of this, besides offering a retail catalog, I have been working pretty frantically on developing two new lines of ornaments. One are Burgees, which are, if anyone does, maybe a lot of people know this, but I didn't really know that much about it, but Burgees are those little flags that yacht clubs have on their members' boats to identify which yacht club they belong to.
Right.
So I have just started a BurgeesOrnament.com website, which is marketed towards yacht clubs and around the Great Lakes. And basically, I'm just recreating their unique boating flags for them to sell to their own members.
Got it.
Yeah, so that's exciting. I mean, that could be something that would carry forward in spite of COVID-19, but certainly it was something that came about because of it for me.
What are you looking forward to after the crisis goes? Something you can't do now that you want to do?
Golly,
I'm so eager to go back to eating out in restaurants sometimes. I just, the whole Michigan, the up and down the coast, we have these fabulous little delis and mom and pop. I love mom and pop shops, you know, stores, little mom and pop restaurants. I just, nothing fancy. I just love these like little places that you find in every little town along the coast. And I feel like we're so lucky, those of us who live in the Great Lakes area, because that has enabled a lot of people who have, to have small businesses. So I'm really looking forward to doing that. You know, we live in the country, so we still get to go for walks, but I do miss seeing people. It's been nice that there are some people that I thought, well, gosh, they live alone, and I started calling them, and I've enjoyed that. It's something I could have done all along, but because of this, I made a little effort out of concern, and actually it's been kind of wonderful for me as well. So there's been, that has been good. That has been good. Another thing, which is, I guess, maybe could be possibly a good outcome for me as a business, is I, for years, have been part of the Bewitching Peddlers of Halloween. It's the country's premier one-of-a-kind Halloween art show. It's held the last Saturday every September this year in Marshall, Michigan. And I sell my Halloween ornaments there, but one of the other things is I did develop a skeleton, a wooden skeleton, and I would put really fabulous costumes or vintage clothing or whatever on these skeletons. They might be Santa Claus outfits or mermaids or
Peter Pan,
fairies, whatever. Yeah, they're just fun. And I've made these costumes now into paper doll sheets, and I'm consolidating them and making them into paper doll books so that hopefully I can sell this to online retailers. I'm going to be sending these out this month. That is something, the original costumes I've been doing for years, but as far as doing this paper doll format like this, this is something that's very new for me. And so, we'll see if that actually turns into something or not. It's just kind of something that worked out well considering where I am at right now business-wise, So we'll see. I feel like I'm sort of lucky just from an emotional standpoint because I am so insular and I do have my family home with me, so I still have them around me as a, just to be in person with someone. I feel so badly for people who live alone. I think that has to be awfully hard.
It sure is.
I feel like things are going to get better, but for a while there, it's going to be tough for a lot of us.
It sure is.
And my heart goes out to everyone.
Well, we appreciate you coming on Art in the Air, Jill. That's Jill Chambers from Saugatuck, Michigan, who does ornaments and a whole wide variety of things. We wish you well, and thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you, Jill. Love you so much.
Thank you. Love you, too. Thank you all.
You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. Our next guest is Roger Batten, who we've had on Art in the Air before, and he's a storyteller of My Path Bibliography. Roger, welcome back to the show.
Aloha, Roger.
Hi.
Well, Roger, we'd like to briefly tell our audience, and we know we've had you on Art in the Air before, what you kind of do with the storytelling and how you develop storytellers.
Yeah, My Path Bibliotherapy is about using the power of story for healing. And I've been doing this since 2013. I operated under a different name. And last year, incorporated as a 501c3. My path is different than any other storytelling that I've known about in the sense that we focus on the storyteller, not so much the audience. And we go through a six-hour workshop, and we teach people about the five layers of story. And they take a personal story from their own lives where their life changed, and they work through the process. And then when they take that story to a public telling of the story, sometimes on stage, sometimes in a workshop, they are releasing the trauma that has been built up in their souls and in their bodies.
It's we've done, Roger, four workshops in the gallery, and each one has been so transforming for all the participants. It's just really such a gift, My Path, and you are.
And Roger, the stories don't necessarily, your life stories don't necessarily have to be tragic or anything like that. They can just be exploring something that you never focused on before.
Yes, and it also, part of our mission is also to advance the art of storytelling. So we do other shows that are not focused on healing as much as they are personal experiences. Our last show was 3 weeks ago. This coming Tuesday will be 3 weeks ago in South Bend. I produced a show that was based on the Bruce Springsteen song, Spirits in the Night. And it was about that. All the stories were about that moment in life that we all had where we had one foot in childhood and we went out with our friends and tried to do some adult things. And so that show was more about the art of storytelling. And that came after a workshop that we did in Mishawaka, Indiana. So, but mostly it's about bibliotherapy.
Well, you know, but I wanted to mention a post that you just did, Roger, and it's just so important, not just during this time, but especially the article was on how we relate all this information to our children will impact, you know, how they feel. So if you want to maybe go into that a little bit, I think that's so important right now.
Sure, and thank you for mentioning that. You know, when humans are little, and as we grow in our early childhood, our stories are largely given to us. And the adults around us and the other people around us, they are creating our stories. We don't have agency. That's in the first layer of story. And right now, with the coronavirus, everything being in a constant state of change and flux, what I was getting at with my post that I did on Facebook is that being mindful that for parents and guardians of children, being mindful that we are giving those children their stories of their life. And however we are reflecting and thinking about this and coping with this, it is on ourselves, and that's difficult enough, but what the thrust is to step back, take a breath, and to consciously think about what kind of stories that we are giving those children, other people in our world as well, and to be mindful and sensitive to that, and to find a way to bring security, find a way to bring some comfort, find a way to bring some joy into that, so that the young people that we associate with don't wind up later on having an adverse childhood experience, that they indeed can have a positive childhood experience.
Now, how is the COVID-19 shelter-in-place impacting you personally? And what are you looking forward to after the COVID-19 thing is passed, which we know eventually it will be? What's something that you miss doing that you're looking forward to doing?
Well, of course, you know, a big part of what I do is the workshops and the performance productions that I do. And the change, of course, for me is like everyone. I live alone, and it's been 3 weeks since I touched another human. And I'm very careful in my little forays out into the public world. And also a big thrust of my path was aimed at healing the trauma of young people who were in school shootings. And now that's changing. And it's changing to the stories that are being created through this experience and this. There's a couple of kinds of grief that we're experiencing. And the last time that humans experienced, Americans anyway, experienced this sort of collective grief was 9/11. And, you know, the comments that I made just a moment ago about the children, and then also coming out of this, at the other side of this, will be to help people process through the levels of grief that they've been experiencing. And part of what we are all experiencing now is anticipatory grief.
That's for sure.
We know things. We're in a liminal space. We've started down this liminal hallway. We know that things are going to change, but we just don't know yet how much and for how long. And coming out the other side, the humans that have passed through this space are going to need to find a way to resolve the trauma that they've experienced. So I'm looking forward to participating in that and helping in any way that I can through my past bibliotherapy.
Roger, we really appreciate you coming on the show today and sharing your thing during the COVID-19 crisis. That's Roger Batten of MyPath Bibliotherapy, and I look forward to having you back on the show sometime to do some more storytelling.
Thank you, Larry. Thank you, Esther.
Thank you, Roger, so much.
And now our next guest we're moving on to is Krista Bermeo from Indianapolis. She does lampworking glass, and she'll tell us about it. Krista, welcome to Art on the Air, special
Aloha,
edition.
Krista. Hi, I'm thrilled to be here.
Well, tell us a little bit about what kind of artwork you do and you know, everything like that in your normal working environment.
Okay. I do lamp working, which means I melt glass rods on a torch about 2,000 degrees, and then using gravity and some dental tools, nether tools that I've kind of made myself, I push and pull and prod the molten glass into different shapes. I use sterling and titanium and... the resulting components I turn into jewelry. And recently I've been using glass that I've found on the street, on walks. And as long as there's enough of it, like five or more pieces, then I can experiment with it. And I call this collection Found. And it might be broken glass windows from cars or whatever. But it's really opened up a lot more possibilities because of the type of material that it's very different what I'm used to using.
Excellent. So how's the COVID-19, how has it impacted you personally and your business and things like that? And make sure you give your website out there, by the way.
I will. Thank you. let's start with the website because I know I'm going to forget. It's www, of course, KristaBermeoStudio.com. Krista is with a K and Bermeo is B-E-R-M-E-O. You'll find lots of glass jewelry there. As far as how it's impacted me, you know, I do a lot of sales, or I sell a lot to museum stores and boutiques and galleries around the country. So where I meet them face to face is about once or twice a year in these wholesale trade shows, and I do New York and Baltimore, Philadelphia, and I've recently done Los Angeles as well. And so I have armfuls of these orders that people have been making since December, January, February. And then, so typically we do these shows and then artists go home, they make this stuff for the stores to have on hand for graduation, Mother's Day, Easter gifts. And it's impacted COVID-19. You know, people are home. Now I have.
The museums are closed and
museums are closed. Now, so some people have decided to postpone those orders in anticipation to being back open for the summertime. And so, you know, I'm kind of, as an artist, you're used to the ebb and flow, the feast or famine, and I kind of just take it in stride. I honestly have a lot of faith that it's going to be okay in the long run. Yeah, it's pretty grim right now. I'm terrified for my parents, for instance. But, you know, I ebb and flow. And you just go with it. And I think that artists are possibly in a unique position to understand that type of thing and kind of prepare. It's like, well, you know what? We've been in dire situations before. They passed. And you just, what you got to do, though, is when you look back, it's like, well, what did you do during that time? Were you able to design some new things? Were you able to calm the anxiety down long enough to actually do some things? And at least with me, I've had a ball. I've been able to design things that are not asked for instance, displays and other things that I would not have normally had the time to do. So I'm using this time every second. I'm actually having a really good time. And I know that's probably not.
No, I think that is good.
Right now when people
that
are
is
not,
good.
Yes.
I mean, if you're after shelter in place, it's probably artists are best adapted to doing that because they can kind of hunker down and do their art.
Absolutely. I have a studio that is about a mile away from me, but because no one else is there, and I've been able to give my assistant just a toolbox full of stuff to do at her place, then there's no, as a business owner, I'm still allowed here in Indiana to go back and forth to my place of business, especially since there's no.
Very good. What are you looking forward to after the COVID-19 thing passes, which is, you know, obviously going to happen, but what are you looking forward to?
Probably introducing all these new designs and collections that I've started I'm pretty excited. I've got so many things that it's like, well, should we try this? Well, yeah, go ahead, let's do it. And then introducing them to people. And of course, I do miss going to museums and walking the galleries.
because I do get a lot of inspiration from that as well. And then seeing my clients in person, yeah, it's been tough. I mean, I was supposed to have seen some friends today's Sunday. Yeah, Esther, we had planned to see each other today.
No, I was so looking forward to it.
Well, Krista, we appreciate you coming on the show. That website again is Krista Bermeo. That's Krista, K-R-I-S-T-A, Bermeo. And is that a dash in there?
No, there is no dash.
It's okay,
Krista Bermeo.
Bermeo.
Studio.
That's B-E-R-M-E-O. Krista Bermeo.
Yes.
So you can find out the information. Thank you so much for coming on there and sharing your time during the COVID-19, and we wish you well.
Much love, Krista.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
And we're with Ron Chupp, our next guest on the special Art in the Year program, and he's a lithographer. Welcome, Ron, to our show.
Aloha, Ron.
Oh, thank you.
Well, tell us a little bit about what you do with your art and everything. Go ahead.
Well, I'm a stone lithographer. I print from limestone.
Indiana limestone, right?
No, actually Bavarian limestone.
Oh, okay.
Indiana's too coarse for printing off of, I guess. And I also oil paint and do pastels and stuff, too. But I more or less concentrate in printmaking.
Very good. How's this COVID-19 impacting you in terms of what you normally do?
Well, I'm getting a lot done because I can't go anywhere.
And nobody can come into the gallery.
And but that's the problem is I can't sell anything because the gallery's closed. I have my own gallery in Jim Thorpe. It's a little touristy town, and it's pretty much closed up, so it's impacted the whole town pretty hard, I think, Will.
Do you have a website so people can still visit things online?
I have a web page, but I'm not real big on computers and keeping up with websites.
Can they reach you through Facebook?
They could reach me through Facebook, yes. You post stuff on Facebook.
Do they use your name on Facebook or your business name?
Yeah, Ron Chupp.
It's Ron Chupp, C-H-U-P-P, yeah. Folks out there, if you're looking for him.
And they can also, if they go through jimthorpe.org, I'm listed under the Black Diamond Gallery.
Oh, okay. Excellent. So what are you looking forward to doing after this is all over with?
Well, hopefully get back to selling some art. Hopefully people will come back to town. I don't know. It's kind of a scary situation because all the counties around me right now are coming down with the virus. So far, our little county, Carbon County in Pennsylvania, only has two. It is kind of scary.
How are all the grandbabies?
Yeah. Well, I got the new grandson. I kind of worried about him, but he's in Wisconsin.
So anything else you'd like to tell us about, tell our audience about what you're doing and what to look forward to?
I've got a few irons in the fire. I've got a couple paintings on the canvas or on the easels. And I've got a blank stone on my that I'm thinking about doing something. I haven't figured out what yet.
Yeah, you have like your work spans a huge variety. You've got the natural work, but then also the architectural work and your monoprints, and then the series of things that have such a great sense of humor. Ron has like the most immensely wonderful sense of humor and conversations, but hardly any words because we're laughing so much. So he puts a lot of that humor into his work. So it'll be interesting to see what the next piece is going to be.
It's hard to say. I'm back and forth between abstract and kind of a realism, surrealism stuff. And my wife lives in New York, which is really getting bad. So it'd be kind of interesting what happens in New York and how, I do a lot of cityscapes. They might be pretty empty now.
For sure. Well, Ron, we appreciate you coming on Art on the Air and telling us about what you're doing and how the COVID-19 is impacting you. Thanks so much and for coming on the show.
Thank you, Ron.
Thanks. I'll see you.
You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. And our next guest here on Art on the Air Special Edition is a couple, Steve and Louise Skinner from Black Tree Studio Pottery and everything else. Welcome to the show.
Aloha.
Thank you.
Well, tell us a little bit about what you Black Tree Studio does, and I know also that Louise, you do photography. So, Steve, we'll start with you.
Well, we make functional artistic. We started the business in 2008 and have continued until now. And continue making pottery.
And what we travel a lot. We travel to art fairs, and obviously that has changed. And we also have galleries all that are closed.
What type of photography do you do?
Well,
I mainly do local landscape photography, but definitely evolved into documenting art travel. People who know Black Tea Studio have come to look forward to, as well as doing artistic shots, trying to be a little different with documenting the pottery itself. But my training is in as an art photographer.
Very good. So how's this impacting you? Obviously, you can't travel, but how else is this impacting you during the COVID-19 crisis going on, the pandemic?
Well, we're not going to any shows. They've all canceled or been postponed. We're not making pottery. We're making some pottery for galleries, but they're all closed. I'm still making pottery, but at a much more relaxed pace. Where it used to be I would get up every day at 9 o'clock and work till 4 or 5. Today, it's a more leisurely time to get up. We spent time over coffee and breakfast. Then I get into the studio and I work 3 or 4 hours instead of 5 or 6.
So I'd like to also add, though, that throughout artistic life, and he's a professional artist, you know, for the past 40 years, he's very disciplined, has always been hard. I don't want to say as a job, but in a disciplined way. So he works every day. And although we're getting into the studio a little later, I think just for sanity, we have continued to work.
We keep working. And actually, I'm making, having time to experiment, making more experimental pieces, which I like.
Okay, excellent. What are you looking forward to after COVID-19 is past us?
We'll have to see. We're starting an online business to take up some of the slack. My guess is I think it'll be slow to start up the shows we used to go to across the country. And we'll probably, my guess is, do less of those and see how it works out.
I'm actually looking forward to doing less shows. We've done it long. We've gone to enough shows that we have sort of a group of customers that, you know, I try to keep in touch with, and they've been very supportive.
All they have to do is buy one piece, and then you have them forever, like me. I've used my comfort cup every single day over the last 6 or 7 years. Every single day, it's by me.
Thank you.
As well as all the other work that I've acquired throughout the years. I mean, they're such a important part of my daily life, and I'm just so happy to be surrounded by them.
So that's great. I really would like to just be more local. I would love that, but, you know.
Well, what's your website address for Black Tea Studio, so that people can look that up?
Oh, it's blacktreestudio.com.
Okay. Well, any final thoughts you'd like to share with our audience out there?
Yeah, just a few. I would say that I'm wherever I go in online or on the radio, I'm very heartened by the ongoing support that everyone is expressing towards the arts, whether it's music or writing or, you know, I'm looking forward to a Richard Thompson online show at 4 p.m. You know, people are donating their time. So I'm really thankful about that, and I'm really worried about the nonprofit art organizations, if I can make a plug for them.
Oh, yeah. That's very important. That's kind of why we're doing this, is to shed a light on artists and arts organizations. Well, we'd like to thank you for coming on the show today on Art on the Air, our special edition. And this has been great hearing about the Black Tea Studio. That's Steve and Louise Skinner there. So thank you so much for coming on.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
And our next guest is Jade McAloon from Chesterton, and she does electroform jewelry and everything like that. Jade, welcome to Art on the Air.
Aloha, Jade.
Hello.
Tell us a little bit about your art and what you do.
Yeah, so I started out 10 years ago with wire wrapping. Actually, it all started with a stone I found on the beach that I thought was quite lovely. I've always been into crystals and collecting rocks and things. So I had this stone. I wanted to wear it. Normally, I tuck them in a pocket or something, but I thought she was beautiful and deserved to be seen. So I started scouting around how much it would cost to have her made into a piece, and found it to be quite prohibitive. I was teaching at the time. I've been an elementary and middle school teacher for a long time. And
God bless you, by the way.
You don't go into teaching because you want money, right?
Well, if you do middle school, you know, I always think that's wonderful, because I retired from a school system as an auditorium and theater director for – I did 31 years in education. So, but when middle school, I always say, God bless you for that.
Oh, I loved them. I thought they were I remember in grad school, one of the teachers said, middle school is your last chance to save them before it's kind of set, you know, where they're going. And I always thought that was a really neat way to look at it.
That's very true. My wife actually directed middle school theater that was linked up to our theater program at the high school. So I do have an appreciation for that. But the hormones are really humming at that level.
Yeah, I do miss teaching sometimes, but I actually left 2 years ago to pursue my art full-time. So, I looked into getting the piece made, decided I couldn't afford it, and how hard could it be, right? So I started watching videos and took some classes and realized it's not as easy as it looks, and there was a lot of trial and error, a lot of swearing, a lot of throwing wire in the garbage. Still, I figured things out. About 2 years into it, I felt brave enough. Enough people had asked me about my pieces that I thought, well, maybe I should try selling these and we'll see what happens. And Chesterton's European Market was my first attempt at offering my work to the world. And, people liked me. They really liked me. There have been good years and bad years, of course. But, obviously it was good enough for me to leave my full-time job and do this. So.
Excellent.
I've watched the evolution, and, oh, my gosh, you're just at the pinnacle right now. It's just everything is so gorgeous.
Thank you so much.
In fact, during this whole isolation, I have not taken the wolf off at all.
Aww.
Does not want to come off.
No, they're very protective, and she's definitely bonded to you. I love that.
Yeah, Jade, I think I have met you at the Chesterton Art Fair. I think you've been there also.
Yes.
Okay. I'm a board member for Chesterton Art Fair, so I remember seeing your booth there and everything. So,
oh, wonderful. So, yeah, that's my favorite show, and I'm a little biased because it's my hometown. But
of course.
When I first started getting into art, my mom was an artist, and she actually, drug me around to different things my whole life, and I was a little intimidated by the art scene, and, there's jerks in every medium, but I find Chesterton Art Center to be super welcoming and just all-inclusive, and you don't feel like the odd man out. So I've really enjoyed being a part of that over the years.
Well, I appreciate that. Well, so how's this COVID-19 impacting you in terms of what you're changing in terms of both of your artwork and personally?
Giant.
Oi, oi, oi. So many people. Jewelry is tough. I will say that everybody makes it. I mean, doing shows, you are exposed to, I could do that, or my cousin does that. Or electric forming is a little different than the wire wrapping. Arthritis in my hands dictated that I needed to change up what I do because wire wrapping is real tough on me. And I had heard of electric forming, and then I was able to find out more about it, and then the world opened up for me. This is copper plating, right? Chemicals and electricity. And my science background, to basically kind of like bronzing a baby shoe, if you will. But you take an object and you grow copper on it. And, that was just a fantastic way of doing things. But jewelry is very competitive, so people like to see and hold it. And that's why shows have been my bread and butter. We've gone all over the country. Mostly we stay in the Midwest, but in a busy season, I can do 40 or 50 shows, and that's over. I knew I was in trouble March 14th when they canceled a show that I was going to do in La Porte. And it was an agonizing decision for the organizers, I understand that. And they had to do it, and they had no choice. And then they started dropping like flies. So my main source of income is gone. I do have an online store. I am pushing myself to get more of my products online. I have an Etsy shop. I also have a website, and I really went back and forth with, should I just offer my things on my own website, or should I go through Etsy? That's a tough call for a lot of artists, but because Etsy is really competitive. There's a lot of stuff out there. But you can't beat their platform. You can't beat their search results. So
what's your web address? What's your web and Etsy address? What's the web?
Yeah, so I am Pieces of Jade, JAYDE, piecesofjade.com. You can find me on Etsy the same way. So working towards getting my stuff online has been a huge pain in my butt. Each listing takes me probably about 30 minutes between photographing the piece and writing the description and jumping through all the hoops that he has you do to list something. So it took me 3 weeks to list 70 pairs of earrings. They're finally up. So I've got the earrings done. And I'm just trying to get everything online and figure out ways to drive people to my online shop because that's the only way I'm going to be able to sell now.
And real quickly, what are you looking forward to after the COVID-19 crisis is done?
I think maybe just an easing of the negativity. I don't know about you guys, but I have to log on. I have to be on social media for my business. I think I would like to not be on social media at all, but I have to do it. And just the constant barrage of negativity and sketchy information. And I was watching a debate online between two people yesterday about what kind of sanitizer to use. There's so much misinformation and half information out there. It's exhausting. So I'm looking forward to a mental break from that.
Being in the same world.
Seeing people again and just being out in the community and feeling a part of things instead of being so isolated was really, really nice.
Well, Jade, it's so we thank you for coming on Art on the Air, sharing your COVID-19 existence, and hopefully post after that. And look forward to seeing you hopefully at the Chesterton Art Fair when it's up and running. So far, it's on the schedule. So appreciate you coming on the show, Jade.
Thanks so much, you guys. Stay healthy. Thank you, Jade. You too.
And we're now here with Wendy Marciniak, President and CEO of Chesterton Art Center. And my question is, how's the COVID-19 crisis impacting the Chesterton Art Center?
Well, first of all, yes. We have definitely been impacted by the coronavirus, and we just want everybody to be safe at home. So obviously we are not open to the public right now, and that's unfortunate. We have had to reschedule a couple of our upcoming shows. In April, we had planned to have the Newlyn Weavers Guild here, but that will be rescheduled in October of this year. In May, we had planned to have the Robert Hoffman retrospective show here, but we are going to delay that until August because we really want to be sure that people will be able to come out and view his wonderful work. Robert has passed away a few years ago. Unfortunately, with people not being able to actually come to the Art Center, we have done a little virtual tour of the Doonlin School's K-8 show, which is available on our social media sites, Facebook and Instagram. And also, a couple of our children's instructors have been posting some little exercises that kids can do at home. We are also focusing on some of our member artists who have work here in the Art Center. So if you check our sites each day, you will be able to take a look at some of the work that is currently here created by our member artists. And that is sort of a perk of being a member of the Chesterton Art Center. Fortunately, with no classes going on right now, the gala has been rescheduled for Saturday, October 3rd.
Well, that's great. Well, that's what all you have time for there. But thank you so much, Wendy, for coming on Art on the Air, our special edition. That's Wendy Marciniak, President and CEO of the Chesterton Art Center.
Thanks so much, Larry.
Be well.
You've been listening to a special edition of Art on the Air. We'd like to thank all of our artists, guests on what they're doing and sheltering in place during this COVID-19 issue. Art on the Air is heard every Friday at 11 a.m. and rebroadcast Monday at 5 p.m., Sundays at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. And we will be doing some encore shows until we get out of this COVID-19 issue. Your hosts today were Larry Breckner and Esther Golden. We were doing this from the remote studio in Chesterton, Indiana, in my own home. Our underwriters for Art of the Air are Valparaiso University Brower Museum, our landlord Walt Breidinger of Paragon Investments, and Art in the Air is supported by the Indiana Arts Commission and a National Endowment for the Arts. If you want to send us information about things that you are doing during the crisis, you can send it to us at artontheair@gmail.com. That's artontheair@gmail.com. We will have in upcoming weeks encore episodes and maybe more interviews with our wonderful artists as they are in sheltering in place. See you right here next week on Art on the Air, 103.1 FM.
Aloha, everyone. Have a splendid week.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the Air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the Air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.